I've titled this message, The Other Half of Paul's Ministry. Now, I know we're in this about once a month, so it's a little hard to keep the continuity, but Paul started the church in Thessalonica. As usual, after some period of time, he's run out of town, and he's writing a letter back to them. He's very concerned about them. As we go through further in 1 Thessalonians, we'll see more and more of his concern. In fact, the next time we'll see more of that. It's almost a little bit of a part two of this message. He's very concerned about them, but he's in chapter two, he's really defending his ministry. Because after he leaves, then people show up and they try to tear down what he was doing and say, well, he's not sincere and he's not really giving you the truth and so forth and so on. And last time we were together, we looked at the first few verses here in chapter 2, and we saw him talking about how he gave them the gospel, how he went about it, the way he gave the truth. We got into all of that the last time we were in 1 Thessalonians. And we challenged ourselves in our witnessing. And that's really what I think of as the first half of his ministry, was sharing the gospel, telling the truth, getting people to come to Christ. And I hope that as we were challenged by that, that you as well as I are thinking about people that we can share Christ with. And I have one person at work that I'm thinking about that I don't believe knows the Lord, and I'm praying about the proper way to approach her and be able to witness to her at some point here, and I hope you're doing the same kind of thing. But that was the first half of his ministry. Now we're going to talk about what I'm calling the second half of his ministry. And what is that? It's really his personal ministry to people in the church. Pastor Chris has been talking to us about community and connection and, you know, really connecting with one another. And in a sense, that's exactly what we're talking about today. And we're going to see Paul as an example as he describes. Again, he's doing it in the context of defending the way that he approached them and how he did ministry to them. But he provides a great example for us to understand, what does it mean to connect to other people? How do we minister in the lives of others, or have others minister in our own lives? Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you this morning consider yourself to be an introvert? So you can tell the introverts, they go. I'm one of those. Okay. You might say, well, what are you doing up there? Well, that's a good question. And we don't have time for that, okay? So let's move on. How many of you are extroverts? You know, very outgoing, maybe never met a stranger. My wife is certainly one of those. Those hands went up a lot higher if you could see it from. See, sometimes introverts, like me, it's very easy to just kind of keep to yourself, right? And say, this idea of connecting with others and doing all of that, well, that's not for me. I'm, you know, even the witnessing we talked about last time. Well, you know, I'm just kind of a quiet kind of a person. I can't really do those kind of things. I'm not good at, well, we don't have that excuse, right? Even for the extrovert who can talk to anybody anytime and the more the merrier and all of that, we need to think about and be purposeful in using that personality trait that the Lord gave you to connect and encourage people in Christ. And we're going to see that this morning as we look at the Apostle Paul. This is not unusual for Paul. When we look at 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to see these verses, we'll read them in just a minute. Paul not only tried to establish churches and win people to Christ, he very much connected with the people in those churches. There's all kinds of examples of this. You look at Acts 20 with the Ephesian church, the elders of the Ephesian church, when he tells them, you know, I'm going on, I know the Lord's got difficult things for me, and I'm never going to see you again. And they were just broken up by that. You see, then if you go read that, they're weeping and hugging him and telling him goodbye. Those are people that are connected with him, right? You don't do that if it's just somebody that passed through and preached a few messages and thank you, Paul, and Godspeed, right? We see it in his letter to the Philippians. We studied that some time back, and his affection for them, you see it coming out in those passages. We see it in Corinthians. Even though they were a hard-headed people, he was trying over and over to connect with them and to minister and to really love them, even though they weren't very receptive of that. We see it in Romans. You go read Romans 16. All the people that Paul mentions there. Is he just trying to throw out names? No. He says, greet this person, talk to that person, encourage this one. Paul was somebody that ministered to individuals in addition to his, of course, preaching and teaching in a public kind of a setting. So let's look at Paul's ministry to people, the other half of his ministry, as I've called it. We'll start in verse 7, where it says, but we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We work night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct towards you, you believers. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Now, he's defending himself, yes, but he's also describing his ministry to them. And I've broken this into three very simple pieces this morning. And let's just step through that. So, our first point is Paul's ministry and personal ministry as a tender mother. He uses that as an illustration. We saw it in verses 7 and 8 here. For we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we are ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you become very dear to us. Now, Paul, in his position, he talks about this in verse 6. He says, we didn't make demands as an apostle. Okay? Paul was a bigwig, right? He's an apostle. He has authority. He has standing in the church. I mean, he's the great missionary, the founder, he's the big guy, right? I mean, he and Peter are like the two most prominent people in the early church as the leaders of it all. And Paul, when he started the church there, could have sort of stayed back from the people. And yet it's very interesting when he talks about how he cared for them, he uses the example of a mother caring for her young children, her little infants. He talks about gentleness. We were gentle with you, just like a mother with a baby. See, a mother with a baby is very gentle, right? You don't just grab them like a sack of potatoes and carry them around, right? You're very gentle with that little baby. And if it's your first one, you're a little bit afraid you might break them, right? Time you get to 3 or 4, it's like, they'll live, right? Some of you with more than one kid, you know how that works, right? It kind of changes a little over time, but you're still gentle with them and caring for them, right? Loving them. It's very natural for a mom to love her children. In fact, it's very weird whenever we hear some situation where that doesn't happen. It's natural. Mom has the little baby, and it's a precious thing. He talks about how much the mother loves. He talks about the unselfishness that's there. It takes a lot of work to care for an infant, doesn't it? There's sacrifice involved. They need care around the clock, right? You can't just say, you know, good grief, can you take care of yourself for once, right? No, I mean, they don't know any better. It's time to eat. It's sacrifice, isn't it? Unselfish, sacrificial. That's the way Paul's describing his ministry to these people. I remember when Jared was born, he was our fourth. For whatever reason, that kind of pushed me over the edge. Got by with three. I was never a coffee drinker. And then the fourth one came, and it was like, and Diane was doing all the work. I mean, let's just face it here. She was the one getting up at night and all the, you know, but for me, for whatever reason, the fourth one, it just pushed me over the edge. I could not get going in the morning, so I started drinking coffee in the morning, and that was over 25 years ago, and I'm still drinking coffee in the morning. So I don't know what it is. And I didn't even like coffee then, but it was a necessary thing. Our daughter Kristen has learned this. You know, she had a baby almost seven months ago, our first grandbaby, and she's figuring out the exhaustion, the effort, the sacrifice it takes to take care of a little one. And that's the way Paul is describing his personal ministry to them. We were gentle among you. We didn't play the big man or any of those kind of things. We cared for you just like a mom with her little nursing baby. He uses this phrase, affectionately desirous of you. And it's interesting, this is the only place in the New Testament that those words are used, that phrase in the Greek is used. It has the idea of a strong yearning for them. And you notice he says, we wanted to give to you and impart to you our own lives also. I didn't just come and give you the truth of the gospel. And that was a great thing of itself. That's how they came to Christ and had the salvation. We're investing our lives in you. We wanted to give our lives into your lives, just the same as we gave you the gospel. So, what's the example for us then? We're to do the same thing. To think about as we think about trying to connect to others, like a mom with a little baby, to have a love, a gentleness, sacrifice, it takes time, right? Now, it doesn't take as much time to minister to somebody else like it does take care of a baby. That's 24/7. But it takes time, doesn't it? It takes energy and time to say, I'm going to connect with other people. Dave talked about it this morning in Sunday school. If I'm going to connect to other people, there's a sacrifice involved, isn't it? I can't do something maybe that I want to do myself that day. I'm going to connect with another person. All of those kind of pictures are there when we think about a mother caring for a baby. And it starts with us having a care and concern for others, doesn't it? That we should love one another. We know that's the sign of a Christian, right? Love for one another. Well, this is how we live that love out, is by connecting and caring for others in this way. So that's number one, personal ministry as a tender mother. Now, let's go to number two, personal ministry as a true example. Now, Paul, in the next couple of verses here, talks about how they were examples. And by the way, it's not just Paul here. He says we several times here. He's talking about himself and Silas and Timothy. There was a group of them there that were there giving the gospel. Of course, Paul is the leader of all that. But they were all of one mind and one example here. But he says, we were an example for you. You remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We work night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct towards you believers. Okay? He was an example to them. Now, first thing that he mentions there is his example in his work ethic. Paul was a tent maker. We've talked about before that Paul in his ministry, he would not take money from whoever he was ministering to at the time. He did not want, because people come in and accuse, Paul's just after your money. No, he would work to provide for himself and his companions. He would accept money from somewhere else. The Philippians sent money to him a couple times. We've talked about that before. He wouldn't take anything from them where he was, because that was his way of saying, nobody can accuse me of peddling the gospel. But he talks about his work ethic. We work night and day. Now, it's not just him saying, look, I'm not after your money. He actually uses this as an example in 2 Thessalonians, because he talks later in 1 Thessalonians about the coming of the Lord and looking forward to Christ's return. And there were a few people there that said, great, Christ is coming soon. I'm going to put my feet up. I'm just going to sit here and wait, right? And he corrects that in 2 Thessalonians. And in fact, he says, well, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat either. And he's pretty straightforward on that. But he uses himself as an example. You saw me. I was working, so you need to do like I was, that work ethic. Okay, now imagine, again, man is man. He hasn't really changed, okay? People back then seemed to be quite happy to put their feet up and be handed things. Do people like that today? Well, yeah. Yeah, work ethic is an issue in our culture, isn't it? Ask anybody who's trying to run a business how hard it is to find people who are willing to work and work hard and those kind of things. Paul says, we were an example. We showed you that we need to work. We need to have a good ethic, a work ethic. He talks about his godly living. Notice what he says here. He says, we lived holy in front of you. So we were apart from evil. Now, he's not claiming to be perfect, okay? We understand that. But he's talking about his example of godly living. He says, we lived righteously, okay? We didn't do anything that didn't follow God's standard. We live blameless. We're free of charges, okay? People are coming in and saying, you did this or we did that. We were blameless in front of you in our example. We showed you what it is to live for Christ. Now, as I mentioned, if we look at the culture that they're in, okay, lots of paganism and idols. The entire culture is such that basically you do whatever you can get away with, right? Immorality, sure. They had temples with prostitutes. That was part of the culture. Okay, Paul in chapter 4 is going to come back to that one and talk about that and reinforce things that he had taught them when he was there before about that. Basically, anything, lying, stealing, whatever you could do, that was part of what's that. I mean, this is human nature, right? And if you don't have any foundation, then what do? You follow human nature, okay? We see that in our own culture, don't we? That's just part of culture today. Now, we in our country have had a sort of Christian culture to begin with, but we've lost a lot of that, haven't we? There's a lot of that that's gone by the wayside, and so this is the way our culture operates, similar to what they were dealing with there. So he brings them to Christ, and now he's saying, look, I need to show you what that means, how to live. You can't go back and just operate like you did before. We talked about that a little bit when we talked about giving the gospel and people who've truly come to Christ. And now he's sharing with them, look, you had us as an example. We showed you this is what it means to live for the Lord. This is what it means to be dedicated to Christ. This is what it means to lead a holy life. This is what it's about. Okay? Now, when we talk about our own personal ministry, we need to be doing the same for those around us. You know, we live in a culture that doesn't understand Christian values, okay? Where lying, for example, is just a way of life. You lie anytime you need to fix something or get out of something or get something or whatever the case might be, right? What about morality? Is it okay for two people to live together before marriage? I can't tell you how many times I see popular you know, pro athletes or whatever talk about the Lord and, you know, praise God and it's all to Christ, and yet, you know, they've been living with their girlfriend for 3 years and they might get married someday. Is that okay? If you look at the surveys, the people in the church are about the same as the people in the world when it comes to that. Here's a hint. No, it's not okay if you weren't sure on that. And again, Paul's going to come back to that in chapter 4. There are many who, in our day, they've not grown up hearing these things from God's Word. And when we connect to other people, we want to share with them. Here is the example. Here's how we go about things. What about things like raising children? We talked about the mom and the baby. There are all kinds of nutty ideas about how to raise children that are just very, very popular today. And I see these things once in a while, and, you know, I can tell when I'm around somebody that's got little kids that are following some of these. But, you know, what about things like don't ever tell your kid no? Don't ever say anything negative. Is that, what would the Bible have to say about that? What's God say? Our Kristen, as a nanny, worked for a family at one time while she was finishing school, that was, you know, we can't say anything negative. It's like, you know, good luck with those monsters when they get older. I mean, right? Don't ever tell them what to do. Believe me, I've worked with a few of those when they get to adulthood, and they don't last very long, I can tell you that, right? The boss doesn't take very kindly to that, and I tease a little bit, but it's when you have that little one, how do you go about, and how do you go about handling money? That's hard for all of us, isn't it, to make decisions, and well, does the Bible have anything to say about that? Relationships, marriage, basically anything in life, the Lord has given us plenty of instructions. And as we connect and seek to try to build into each other's lives, we can be an example and share, just like Paul was doing. And it wasn't just that he was just being an example in front of them. We're going to see that in just a minute as we get to the next point, our last point. He's speaking this to them. And we see as we go throughout the rest of the book, as he reiterates. Now, I told you this, but let me tell you it again. Here it is again. Okay? Being an example, helping others to see. Okay, let me help you understand. This is what it is to live the Christian life. This is how we do it. This is what the Bible says about that. You're not sure about that? Well, let's look at what the Bible says. Let's see what the Lord says about it. Let's pray about what He would have us do in that situation. That's what Paul is doing. That's what he's doing as he connects with them personally in his personal ministry. A true example. And it's important to be an example, right? You can't really try to help somebody or mentor them or disciple, as the word that we use, if your life doesn't hold up to what you're talking to them about, right? You can't come and say, Paul couldn't say to them, this is the way you need to live, but I know I'm not doing that, but you need to do it, okay? It's what it says, all right? Just ignore me for now. No, that wouldn't have worked very well, would it? Doesn't work as a parent, doesn't work as a friend either. We need to be an example. Think about how do we lovingly be an example to others. Now let's get to our final point, the last couple of verses here. Paul's ministry as a training father. Okay, the last two verses, verse 11 and 12, for you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. So, talked about the mother, talked about the example. Now he talks about as a father. I came along like your parent in the Lord, as your father, and this is what I did. I exhorted you. Now, the word translated exhorted there is a very similar word to one that's used in the New Testament about the Holy Spirit. It has the idea of coming alongside, or calling near. So I came alongside to share with you what the Lord says. And he says, I encouraged you, has the idea of counseling, advising, comforting, to urge them to live the Christian life. He talks about he charged them, has the idea of witnessing or testifying. So he's telling them in stronger terms, this is what it is to follow Christ and how to live for him. Now, we talked about the first two, that we love others. That's great, okay? Sometimes people take that and say, well, you know, that means that I'm just going to love people where they are and they can do whatever and I'm not going to try to push them to be any different or say any different. And that's loving somebody. That's not really loving somebody, by the way. Just like if we had a little baby as a mom, you don't let the baby go play in the plug, right, and start sticking things in it, you know? That's not how we do it. We got to correct. We got to instruct. We can be an example. That's good. But at some point, we need to be willing to open our mouth and start sharing. This is what the Lord says. This is how it's done. This is what we need to do. It's kind, gentle, but it's important, right? He mentions encouraging. We all need encouragement, okay? We need to be encouraged in the faith. He talks about fathers doing this. There's a great lesson just in this passage about moms and dads, but we need to be encouraging, right? We want to encourage others in their walk. My own father was not much of an encourager. He was kind of old school, thought encouragement and stuff like that would just make you soft, and so he didn't go for that. Fortunately, I had other people in my life who encouraged me, but we need to be encouraging. You know, the biggest dangers that I see for the believer, and we think about those who, if you thought for a minute here, I bet just about every one of you who's been in church for a while could name somebody you know who was in church for some perhaps long period of time and now is out, right? The two biggest things that get the believer is discouragement and apathy, right? I'm discouraged. Life isn't going as I wanted it to. Maybe some bad things have happened. I get discouraged and I give up. I just sort of go away. Or I get apathetic about it. Maybe I'm just not concerned anymore. Well, I think what we're talking about today, this personal idea of connection with others and the ministry to others, go a long way to helping fix those things, right? I would bet that most of the people, not all, but most of the people that drift out away, that stop going to church, get away from the Lord, are people who didn't have connections with others like we're talking about here, who didn't have somebody building into their lives like we're talking about here, or they didn't accept somebody else trying to build into their lives and allowing that connection to happen, which is the other side, okay? You can't be apathetic about the things of God if you're actively ministering to other people and trying to encourage them and disciple them and get them moving forward in the faith and help them to move forward. You can't be apathetic and have that happening at the same time. So when Paul talks here about what he's doing, that he exhorted you and he encouraged you and he charged you, you see the passion that's there for Paul, right? And as I said, we're going to see in almost a part two, as we get down into the end of this chapter and into chapter three, how that went further in terms of Paul's concern and his, you know, he wants to see them follow to where they need to be, right? Notice the end of verse 12. He says, we charge you to walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. The idea of walk is your manner of life, your way of life. That's the term that the Bible uses. It talks about your walk. Well, that's just your day-to-day life, the way you live your life. I want you to walk, I want you to live your life in a manner that is worthy of the salvation that you've been given. Okay? I want you to demonstrate the new life. I want you to be more like the Lord. I want you to walk in a worthy manner because He's the one that called you into His kingdom, and I want you to be able to live like that. So I've been very gentle with you and tender in how I approached you. I've given you an example. I've showed you, I've told you as a father, I've been exhorting you and encouraging you and really pressing you to follow on the way that you should. And it's all for the sake. It's not so Paul could stand there and say, look at all those people, see what I did. It's because he wants them before God to honor the Lord and to be worthy of the calling that they've had and the salvation that they've received and to walk in a way that demonstrates that. So, let's wrap up this message today. Three simple points. Personal ministry. Now, the challenge for us is, as we looked at the other half of Paul's ministry, it's pretty clear that Paul poured himself into the people around him. Right? He worked himself to exhaustion, really, didn't he? He did the work to build the tents and do the things he had to do to support himself. He's preaching and sharing the truth, and yet he's also getting involved in the lives of people. Why do you think he did that? You think he thought that was pretty important? I think so. I think that was a that's why I call it the other half of his ministry. It was that important to him that he engaged with people and trying to encourage them in their walk with the Lord. Now, what does that mean to us? Okay, if it's not already obvious. The challenge today is for us to get involved in personal ministry to others. Okay? And there's two sides to that, as I mentioned. One side is that you could be ministering to others and encouraging them. And then the other side is to let others in so that they can encourage and minister to you as well. That takes time. It takes connection with people. Some of us are more introverted or not as good at this, putting ourselves out. My wife is better at personal ministry than I am, but I need to do that as well. One of the things about our church and its size is that we have an opportunity to really connect with one another, to have the community to really get together with each other on a personal level and encourage one another. That's one of the things I don't like about the mega church movement. I think a lot of people go to those churches because they can sort of slip in and out and not have any worry about a connection or accountability or any of those kinds of things. And not that there aren't a lot of good people in those places, but this is something that we need. I know for my own self, there's a small number of people who've built into my life from the time I was younger, even to today, that I assure you, I would not be up here today if not for those people building into my life. I guarantee that. That's the kind of impact. And, you know, I could tell you more details and stories, and I won't take time to do that, but I mean, the time and the effort and things that were involved there is just, it's astonishing to me as I look back on it that somebody invested that kind of an effort. So that's my challenge to you today is to say, okay, let's put this into practice. Pastor Chris has been talking about community and connection. You have opportunities, there's activities. There's Bible studies coming up where you get together with a group of men or ladies and share about God's Word and try to grow and learn. And part of that is just connecting with a few other people, right? But let's also connect in a one-on-one kind of basis. And I would challenge you this week, think of somebody in church that you can connect with this week. Send them a text. Call them. God forbid you actually talk on that thing, that cell phone. But yes, younger people, you can talk on those if you weren't sure about that. My phone has that? Yes, talk to them. Get together for lunch or go grab a coffee or connect with people. Think of somebody that you can connect with and just encourage them in the faith. I know this is happening. I know there are a number of people out here who are very good at this. And I don't preach this message to chastise us at all. I just know how busy life gets, how we go week to week and we get there the next week and it's like, wow, another week is gone, right? We're in March already. We're at mid-March next Sunday, right? It's just crazy, the time and the... This is the kind of thing that takes purpose, right? We have to pause and say, okay, Lord, this is part of what I need to do as a believer. Help me get connected. Pray about, who can I connect with? Put somebody on my mind and I'll give them a call. I'll text them. I'll connect with that person and we'll start having some time together. We'll just encourage each other in life, right? It's good if you've got books and other things, but it's just getting together and talking about what's happening in life, what the Lord's teaching you, and sharing your own knowledge and experience and maturity and from the Bible to help others and encourage them in their walk. So that's our challenge today. Paul is just an incredible guy. To do the things he did, to suffer like he did, to give the gospel, write half the New Testament or more, and yet when I look at him, he was going around house to house and working with individuals to try to encourage them in their faith. And that's our challenge today, is for you and me to do that. And let's do it this week, okay? Let's not let it go and it's okay, yes, we're challenged, and then it's gone because we get busy. Let's do it this week, okay? Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the chance to be here today. We thank you for your word, the way it challenges us, the example that we see in people like Paul that you use so mightily. Lord, as I said in the message, I know for myself that there have been people in my life who took that extra interest in me and built into my life, and you know that very well. And that was a gift from you in my life. I pray, Lord, that as we go throughout this week, that we would think about how to connect with one another, and that we would be those who are caring and loving and concerned and being examples and really reaching out to encourage one another in the faith. Thank you, Lord, for each one who's been here. I pray that it's been a blessing. Go with us, Lord, and bless us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for being here today. You are dismissed, and we'll see you this evening for the activities.